want to tell you a story as you think about this force and picturing and putting yourself in a perspective of unconditional love, which is an absence of judgment, an absence of anger, an absence of telling yourself that someone ought to be like you. And I want to tell you how it has worked for me. One of the things I have known in my life in recent years is that it's important for me to get my ego out of what I do and how to go about doing that, which is to take my attention off of the outcome and what's in it for me and how much I'm going to get and put it more on serving and stop being so concerned with how much comes to me and how much approval I get and how much money I get and all of the things like that, and to just stay more centered on what it is I'm about. And I picked up a story last Christmas morning, a newspaper, and my daughter Tracy and my wife Marceline were there, and I read this story, and the story said, woman spends her 27th year in a coma. And I read this story, and it was a story of a woman named Kay Obera and her daughter Eduarda Obera. The story went on to say that in 1970, on January the 3rd, this young girl who was 16 years of age slipped into a diabetic coma at about 4 o'clock in the morning. She had been given oral insulin as an adolescent, and called diabetes, and it wasn't metabolizing with her, and she wasn't getting the insulin. It wasn't going into her bloodstream. And she woke up in this, she was just shaking and in great, great pain, and they rushed her to the hospital. And as she was on the hospital bed, her mother went there with her in 1970. Eduarda, the young girl who was a senior in high school at the time, said to her mom, "Mom, you won't leave me, will you, Mommy?" And she had never called her mommy before. She had always called her mom or mother. And Kay said to her, "I will never leave you, I promise. And a promise is a promise." And that was in 1970. Well, 27 years later, Kay has been feeding Eduarda every 2 hours for 27 years. Imagine yourself never being able to sleep in a bed for 27 years. At 2 a.m., 4 a.m., 6 a.m., 8 a.m., getting up every night, sleeping in a chair next to your daughter. Imagine yourself never going to a mall or going to a movie. And imagine yourself being drained financially by medical bills alone that number now $3,000 a month just for the medication, with an income of $1,100 a month. And imagine yourself also every 4 hours, 24 hours a day, six times a day, having to take a blood sugar reading and then administer insulin based upon the reading, six times every day. And imagine yourself coming home from that hospital bed. This woman was a school teacher, a mathematics teacher and physics teacher down in Miami. And she came home 4 months after the onslaught of the coma because they no longer could afford to stay in the hospital. Their insurance had run out long ago. They were now borrowing money. And then imagine 4 years later, the husband having a conversation with you, saying, "I can no longer stand to see myself standing by, watching while our finances are drained, and I can't do anything for my daughter. I'm going to go to heaven and work from there." And the next day, dying of a massive heart attack at the age of 49. And then when that happened, the other daughter, Eduarda's sister, becoming a crack cocaine addict and living on the street and having her only little baby being raised by Kay as well. Losing your husband, your daughter to a coma, your other daughter to the streets, and still every 2 hours, 24 hours a day, 27 years, feeding and taking care of this child. This is the story of Kay Obera. And I read that story, and I was astounded by this kind of unconditional love. And I took a copy of one of the books I wrote a couple of years back called Real Magic, which is a book about miracles. And I wrote in that book, "You are my hero." And I sent Kay a check. I thought that I was then done with it, which is, it was a very touching story, but it was still sort of tugged at my heartstrings. And I went away in January to write this Manifest Your Destiny book. And when I got home in February, after writing, picked up the my mail, and I had a huge stack of mail, and on the top of the mail stack was a letter from Kay O'Bara thanking me for the check I had sent and for the book and asking me if I would please come down. Well, my wife and I went down to see Kay and Eduarda. And when we went to Kay's house down in Miami, about 40 miles from our home, walked into Eduarda's room, a room filled with angels and relics and all kinds of spiritual literature and music. And just, it was like we knew we were in a holy place. And as I talked to Kay and told her how touched I was by her unconditional love, her display of unconditional love, I had to fly away a couple of days later and go out to the West Coast, California, out into California. I had to do a show out there. And I did the show, and when I was coming back after doing the show, my wife called and she said, you know, Oprah Winfrey is going to be taping a show on people in comas. And they would like you to be at her home tomorrow, if that's possible. And I flew home, and I went there. And while I was there, I talked a little bit about who I believed this person to be, who was doing her holy work from this place. And then the show aired. And the show was about people in comas, but it was focused on this policeman in Tennessee who had been in a coma for 9 years, and then he suddenly awoke, and he just began talking after 9 years, and it was considered to be a miracle. And they had his brother and some other people on the show, and then they had some other people who had been in a coma but had come back, but they weren't the same as they were before the coma. And the focus of the show was mostly on how tough it was, what a struggle this was, and it's not easy on the rest of the family, and so on. And then Kay came on the show. And Kay is the most uplifting and dynamic and positive and joyful person. And she said, this is not a chore. This is an honor. And when she was asked, well, why do you do this? She said, well, God asked me to do it. And God never gives you any more than you can handle. She said, I only asked for 2 daughters. I didn't ask for them to be anything special, anything unique. I just asked for 2 daughters. And I take care of her, and I am honored to serve her in this way. And she is fed through a tube. She has brain activity. She was 27 years ago in what is called a stage 1 coma, which is one in which they had to tape her eyes shut because her coma was so deep. And today, more than a quarter of a century later, when I had my other children come down and sing to her, and Serena sat up there on the bed with her and held her hand, this was Easter Sunday, and I said, we have to go now. Grandma's coming over, and we have to get home now. And she turned her head, and a tear came down her eye. And the last time that I was in her presence, which was not more than a few days ago, when I walked in after having been gone during the summer, she smiled in recognition. She's in what is now called a stage 9 coma. Whether she's coming out or not, we don't know. But 5 years ago, Kay told me what happened in confidence. She said, it was 1991, and it was in October, and I woke up to give her 4 o'clock feeding, because she only sleeps for 45 minutes at a time, in a chair. And she said there was a bright light in the room, and I thought someone was there to harm Eduarda, because people have driven by her home and shot bullet holes into their walls, saying, we're going to put her out of her misery. There's that kind of consciousness that is out there. And one interviewer said, isn't your daughter a vegetable? And she said, I've never seen a vegetable smile, have you? So she saw this light back in the room when she was preparing the food to go into the tube that feeds her. And she walked back there very quickly, and there, standing at the foot of the bed, was an apparition whom she later identified as the Blessed Mother, Virgin Mary. And she began to talk after her initial fear, and said, was told that your daughter is a blessed one. And she said, well, why is she in a coma? And Kay told me that the Blessed Mother had told her that your daughter is a victim soul, and you'll have to find out what that means yourself, so you'll know. And she called the different priests and the different places in the Catholic Church hierarchy, and none of them had ever heard of that. And then she called a cardinal, and the cardinal said, "Where did you hear this term?" And she said, "Well, I'd really rather not say," because she didn't want to be perceived as being nutsy and crazy and so on, talking to ghosts. And the cardinal said, "Well, this is a term that goes back to antiquity. And a victim soul is someone who deliberately takes on suffering as their purpose in being here in order to teach compassion or to teach love or to teach peace. Very much like Gandhi did during the rioting in the 30s and 40s when he would fast to the point of dying as long as there was some violence. And he was willing to take that on rather than to allow that to continue." And we all know, of course, of the great tradition of Christianity, of taking on suffering so that the rest of us might be freer people. And in my heart, I believe this is unconditional love in action. Very much like Mother Teresa sees Jesus Christ in all of his distressing disguises, I believe that Kay's work with Eduarda teaches us about a full measure of unconditional love, and that Eduarda made the choice, as the Blessed Mother told her. When Kay said, "Well, did she have a choice to do this?" And she said, "Absolutely." And she's teaching compassion. As Kay says, it's not if she will wake up, but when there's enough compassion in the world, her work will be completed, and she will either awaken or God will take her with it. And that's unconditional love.